بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. غفر الله لنا ولشيخنا وللحاضرين والمسلمين. يقول الإمام المجدد رحمه الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في رسالته آداب المشي إلى الصلاة: وأما السجود السهوي فقال أحمد: يحفظ فيه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم 5 أشياء: سلم من 2 فسجد، وسلم من 3 فسجد، وفي زيادة ونقصان، وقام من 2 فلم يتشهد. قال الخطابي: المعتمد عليه عند أهل العلم هذه الأحاديث الـ5، يعني حديث أو حديثي ابن مسعود وأبي سعيد وأبي هريرة وابن وحينة، وسجود السهو يشرع لزيادة والنقص وشك في الفرق في فرد أو نخلة، إلا أن يكثر فيسير كالوسواس فيطرح، وكذا في الوضوء والغسل وإزالة النجاسة. فمتى زاد فعلا من جنس الصلاة قياما أو ركوعا أو سجودا أو قعودا عمدا بطلت، وصحوا يشكو، لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا زاد الرجل أو نقص في صلاته فليشكد 2، رواه مسلم. ومتى ذكر عاد إلى ترتيب الصلاة بغير تكبير، وإن زاد ركعة قطع متى ذكر، وبنى على فعله قبلها ولم يتشهد إن كان قد تشهد، ثم سجد وسلم، ولا يعتد بالركعة الزائدة مسبوق، ولا يدخل معه من علم أنها زائدة، وإن كان إماما أو منفردا فنبهه 2 لزمه الرجوع، ولا يرجع إن نبهه واحد إلا أن يتيقن ثوابا، لأنه صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يرجع إلى قول ذي اليدين. ولا يبطل الصلاة عمل يسير، كفتحه صلى الله عليه وسلم الباب لعائشة، وحمله أمامة ووضعها، وإن أتى بقول مشروع في الصلاة في غير موضعه كالقراءة في القعود والتشهد في القيام لم تبطل به.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير، ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله وخليله ورسوله أرسله رحمة للعالمين، فبلغ الرسالة وعد الأمانة ونصح للأمة وجاهد في الله حق جهاده، صلوات الله وسلامه عليه ورضوانه جل وعلا على صحابة محمد، أولئك الذين صحبوا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، آمنوا به وصدقوا وهاجروا معه وإليه وجاهدوا معه وبعده، حتى أنال الله جل وعلا الأرض بنور الهداية. فاللهم ارضى عنهم وأرضهم، واجعلنا ممن يحسنون الاقتداء بهم المحبين لهم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. يقول المؤلف شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله عليه في كتابه آداب المشي إلى الصلاة، وهو في الحقيقة كتاب ينبغي لطالب العلم أن يعتني به ويراجعه مرات حتى يعلق في ذهنه كيفية القيام من هذه العبادة العظيمة. قال: وأما سجود السهو فقال أحمد، يعني الإمام أحمد بن حنبل إمام أهل السنة والجماعة في الحديث تلميذ الشافعي، والشافعي تلميذ مالك رحمة الله على جميع سلف هذه الأمة الصالحين، قال يحفظ فيه يعني عن في سجود السهو عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خمسة أشياء سلم من اثنتين فسجد. النبي صلى ثم لما صلى ركعتين تشهد سلم، فقام سرعان الناس المستعجلون وقاموا للخروج، فقام رجل يسمى ذو اليدين، يسمى ذو اليدين في يديه طول رضي الله عنه وارضاه، قال يا رسول الله أقصر في الصلاة أم نسيت؟ قال لا لم تقصر ولا أنصر. قال بلى صليت ركعتين. فقال النبي وكان في القوم في الحاضرين أبو بكر وعمر، فقال كما يقود اليدين؟ قالوا نعم. فقام صلى الله عليه وسلم وعتق الركعتين الباقيتين ثم سجد بعد قراءته التشهد كاملا. فهذا تسليمه، فهذا تسليمه صلى الله عليه وسلم من اثنتين سهوا، وسلم من ثلاث، صلى صلاة رباعية صلى منها ثلاث وتشهد بعد الثالثة وسلم. فنبه قال وفي الزيادة والنقصان، إذا زاد أو نقص من الصلاة عن سهو ليس متعمد يسجد للسهو، يقول وقام من الثنتين فلن يتشهد. قال الخطابي، الخطابي هذا إمام من أئمة السنة، قال الخطابي المعتمد عليه عند أهل العلم في هذه الأحاديث الخمسة هن عمدة العلماء، حديث ابن مسعود وأبي سعيد وأبي هريرة، كل واحد له حديث في هذا المعنى، وابن بحيمة أحد الصحابة رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. ثم قال المؤلف وسجود السهو يشرع للزيادة، إذا صلى مثلا خمس ركعات أو قام للخامسة ثم نبه فرجع وجلس عليه أن يسجد للسهو. كذلك إذا سلم من نقص ما أكمل الصلاة، إما نسي ركعة أو نسي سجدة، فإذا كان نسي سجدة من الركعة الأخيرة فإنهم إذا ذكر يأتي بالسجدة ثم يكمل الصلاة، وإن نسي سجدة من ركعة ليست الأخيرة فالتي نسي منها سجدة ثم أتى بعدها بركعة ثانية بطلت تلك الركعة التي سقط منها سجود لأن صارت ركعة ناقصة، أي تكون الركعة التي بعدها قامت مقامها ثم يكمل الصلاة. قال يشترع السجود السهو يشترع للزيادة والنقص ويشترع للشك، الإنسان قد يقف يصلي فيتردد هل صلى ثلاثا أو أربعا أو ظن أنه صلى خمس مثلا، تردد إن شك أنها كاملة أو غير كاملة فإنه يبني على المتيقن وهو أنها ما كملت ويأتي بالناقص ثم يسد بعد ما يتم الصلاة بالسلام. ولكن لا شك أنه أتى بزيادة رفعة، هذا أيضا يسد بالسلام لكن ما يأتي بشيء إلا السجود والسلام. قال يقول وأفضل التطوع قال طال عمرك فشك في يشرع للزيادة والنقص إذا سهى وزاد إن ذكر الله في الزيادة مثلا في أي وضع يكون وهو في الزيادة يترك الزيادة ويكمل الصلاة التامة. فلو فرضا قام للخامسة ثم ذكر وهو يقرأ الفاتحة أو عندما اعتمد واقفا فعليه سجود السهو. وإن تذكر النقص عليه أن يأتي بالنقص الذي حصل إن كان ركن من ركعة من الركعات فالتي سقط ركنها تفضل تلك الركعة وتقوم مقامها الركعة التي تليها ثم يكمل الصلاة. قال وشك في فرض ونفل يعني يعمل بسجود سهو إن كان سهى في الفريضة فيؤدي ما كان ناقصا وإن كان زائدا فيتم الصلاة. إن فرض أنه أراد يصلي نافلة ركعتين فسهى وقام لثالثة ثم أحملها وجلس للتشهد فذكر أنها ثلاث أو ذكر فإن نكملها ويسجد السهو. والسهو يحصل في الفرائض وفي النوافل لكن قد يكون السهو نوعا من الوسوسة والشيطان يسعى جادا ومجتهدا ليفسد على ابن آدم عبادته. فإذا كثر عند الإنسان الشك في أدائه فلا يلتفت إلى ذلك الشك، لأن بعض الناس وهو يتوضأ يشك أنه ما غسل اليمين فإذا غسلها وغسل اليسار شك يعني صار مرتبكا بكثرة هذه الوساوس. إذا كان فيها وسوسة يضبط أنه يأتي للصلاة كاملة ولا يغسل لأن هذا من الوسواس، يعني فيطرح يلغي الوسواس كأنه لم يحصل. إلا أن الواحد ينبغي له أن يعتني إذا دخل في هذه الصلاة يحرص على استجماع فكره فيها لا يكون منشغلا بتفكيرات أخرى في عمل في زوار يزورهم أو يزورون في رحلة سيتوجه إليها. ما دام أنه يناجي الله في هذا الموقف الشريف ينبغي أن يحرص على استحضار ذهنه وضبط فكره على أن لا يتجاوز هذا الموقع. والمقيمة في الوضوء والغسل وإزالة النجاسة الاحتياط مطلوب، لكن بعض الناس يستولي عليه الوسواس حتى إذا دخل بدأ يتوضأ ربما أمضى نص ساعة أو أكثر وهو ما يدري أعتقد أني ما بلغت هذا لا، ينبغي أن يكون معتمدا على الله ومطرحا تاركا وساوس الشيطان. يقول وكذا في الوضوء والغسل وإزالة النجاسة يعني يزيل النجاسة سواء من ثوب أو عمامة أو أي شيء مما يلبسه وهو يصلي، وإذا أزال عنا النجاسة يكفي أن يغسل الثوب 3 مرات. بعض الناس قد يحتاج أن يغسل ما حصل عنده شك في النجاسة لحصولها مرات، حتى ربما يخشى أن يفوته وقت أداء فريضة. مما يساعد الإنسان على ذلك حال ما يدخل في هذه الفريضة من وضوء أو اغتسال يسمي الله قبل أن يبدأ. فإذا كانت الصلاة يدعو دعاء الاستفتاح ثم يستعيذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ثم يبدأ بالقراءة. قال: فمتى زاد فعلا من جنس الصلاة قياما أو ركوعا أو سجودا أو قعودا، إذا زاد هذا الشيء متعمدا تبطل الصلاة. وأما إذا زاد ساهيا، قد يكون الإنسان في صلاته منشغل بالتفكير فظن أنه انتهى من الصلاة فيجلس جلسة النافعة يلتفيها، هذا حال ما يتذكر يقطع هذه الجلوس ويكمل صلاته ويسجد للسهو. أما إذا كان متعمدا أن يدخل في الصلاة ما ليس منها فإنه في هذه الحالة تبطل صلاته. يقول: فمتى زاد فعلا من جنس الصلاة قياما أو ركوعا أو سجودا أو قعودا عمدا بطلت. وسهو نفس للسهو لقوله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا زاد الرجل أو نقص في صلاته فليسجد سجدتين، حديث رواه مسلم. يقول: ومتى ذكر عاد إلى تقييد الصلاة، يعني لما سهى غفل ربما فكر نسي أنه في صلاة، حينما يرجع إليه ذهنه ينظر من أين وقف في القيام بأداء هذه العبادة ثم يكمل عليه ويسجد للسهو. إنما ينبغي أن يحرص الواحد عند الدخول في الصلاة، أما بأخبر أن الشيطان يعمد إلى ابن آدم وهو في صلاته يلقي عليه وساوس حتى يذكر هذا المصلي يذكر في صلاته الشيء الذي ما كان يذكره قبل الدخول فيها. يأتي الشيطان ويسعى لتذكيره أشياء غاب عن ذهنه عنها، فليحرص الإنسان على التوكل على الله جل وعلا والاستعانة به سبحانه وتعالى، وليعلم أيضا أن جهده وحده لا يكفي، فليكثر من كلمة لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، تلك الكلمة التي سماها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما في الصحيح أنها كنز من كنوز الجنة. قال: ومتى ذكر عادل تقديم الصلاة، يعني بغير تكبير، يعني لو قام للخامسة وكبر قائما ثم تذكر أنها خامسة أو ذكر لا يحتاج يكبر يدخل في الصلاة تكبيرا، ليس هذا محل الله، بل يهوي جالسا ويكمل الصلاة. قال: إذا زاد ركعة قطع متى ذكر، مثلا زاد ودخل في الركعة الخامسة وشرع يقرأ الفاتحة، لما قرأ إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين تذكر أو ذكر لا يحتاج يكمل يهوي ويتم الصلاة. مثلا وإن زاد ركعة قطع متى ذكر وبنى على فعله قبله، ولا يتشهد إن كان قد تشهد، يعني قد يتشهد الواحد التشهد
ويسهر ظن أنه تشهد التشهد الأول بينما هو تشهد التشهد الأخير. إذا ذكر وهو يقرأ في ظنه أنها الثالثة وهو في الخامسة ما عليه إلا أن يقطع الموقف كله ويجلس، فإن كان أتم التشهد أتم سلم سجد للسهو، وإن كان ما أتم ما أكمل. قال ولا يعتد بالركعة الزائدة، يعتد بالركعة الزائدة في مسبوق. إذا كان يعلم أنها زائدة فلنفرض أن الإنسان اندخل والإمام يصلي الركعة الخامسة وهذا دخل معه وكمل اثنتين معه هذه الزائدة والصحيحة، هل يعتد بهذه الزائدة؟ إن كان عالما أنها زائدة فلا يعتد بها، وإن كان لا لم يعلم ضمنها من كمال الصلاة فهو أداها بنية الصلاة فالصحيح أنها تكون صحيحة. قال وإن كان إماما أو منفردا فنبهه اثنان لزمه الركوع الرجوع، يعني إذا سبح للإمام اثنان من المصلين لما يفهم منه ويفهم المصلون أنه قد زاد عليه أن يستجيب، أما إذا نبهه واحد وبقي على ظنه أنه أحمل فلا يلزم الرجوع إليه. أما إذا كان عندما نبه صار مترددا ظانا أنه أخطأ حقا فإنه يستجيب له، وسجود السهو بحاله الحاصل. ولا يرجع أن نبهه الواحد إلا أن يتيقن صوابه، لأنه صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يرجع إلى قول ذي اليدين، لأن ذي اليدين هو اللي نبه وقال عزيزة الصلاة يا رسول الله أم نسيت؟ قال لم تزد ولا لم تزد، قال بل زد. فالنبي التفت الصحابة قال أكما يقول ذي اليدين؟ قالوا لا. قال ولا يبطل الصلاة، ولا يبطل الصلاة عمر يسير، يعني كأن يتقدم خطوتين أو يرجع وراء خطوتين لتكملة من دخل من صف، أو قد يضطر إلى أن يفتح بابا مغلقا وهو مضطر لأن يفتح يتقدم إلى الباب، أو يريد أن يتبين للناس ليروه وهو يصلي حتى يحسن الاقتداء به، وقد فعل ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. بل ربما أشياء ليس ضرورية لكنه يحب أن يسيرها. النبي كان يصلي وقد حمل بنت ابنته وهو يصلي، النبي أطال السجود إطالة غير مألوفة، لأن الحسن والحسين ركب على ظهره صلى الله عليه وسلم فزاد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالسجود. كل هذا من النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، أول شيء هو نبي، هو إنسان كما قال للصحابة أنسى كما تنسون، ثم إن هذا النسيان الذي يحصل لنبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هذا من حظ الأمة حتى يعرف ما يترتب على مثل هذا الشأن. قال وإن أتى بقول مشروع بالصلاة لكن أتى به يعني في غير موضع كالقراءة في القعود أو التشهد في القيام لم تذكر، فغالبا الإنسان قام فسهى يظن أنه يقرأ التحيات وهو قائم، بدلا أن يقرأ الفاتحة استمر يقرأ التحيات، وقد يكون موقوف بصر ما يرى الناس أمامه أنهم وقوف. لا تبطل الصلاة في مثل هذا الشيء اللي جنسه موجود في الصلاة. أما لو سهى ووقف ينشد أشعار بطلت الصلاة، وإن تكلم سهوا ما جناه. يقول وإن أتى بقول مشروع في الصلاة جنس هذا العمل أو هذا القول في غير موضع كالقراءة في القعود والتشهد في القيام لم تبطل الصلاة.
Shaykh began, Habibullah Ta'ala, by mentioning the name of Allah. We seek refuge. All praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him. If we seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jalla from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our deeds, He is alone. He has no partners. The dominion belongs to Him, and for Him is all the praise. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon His Prophet, who He sent as a mercy to mankind. He fulfilled the trust He gave the message, and He was sincere for the Ummah. He fought in the way of Allah, the true fighter. And may Allah be pleased with His companions, those who believed in Him, and who migrated with Him and to Him, and who fought during His time and after His time until Allah spread this religion throughout the earth. May Allah make us from amongst those who are sincere and true in our following of them. The author, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Rahim Allah Ta'ala, he mentioned in his treatise, which is the etiquette of walking to the prayer, and the Sheikh said, in reality, it is befitting that a student of knowledge focuses on this book and continues to read it so that he remembers and memorizes that which is upon him as it relates to the prayer. The author mentioned that Ahmed, and that is Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal, who is the Imam of Ahlul Sunnah and Jama'ah in Hadith, and he was a student of Imam al-Shafi'i, and Imam al-Shafi'i was a student of Imam Malik rahimahumullah ta'ala. Imam Ahmed rahimahullah ta'ala said that there are five things that have been reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it relates to the prostration for forgetfulness. One is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made tasleem, meaning he ended the prayer after two units of prayer. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intended to pray four, but he ended the prayer after two. So the Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made tashahhud after two units of prayer, and then individuals who were in a rush, they rushed out of the masjid, and a man by the name of the man, the possessor of the hands, and he was described with this description because his hands were long. He said, O Messenger of Allah, has the salat been shortened or did you forget? And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, it has not been shortened, nor did I forget. Then this man, Dhul Yadayn, he said, in fact, you have forgotten. And who was present when this was said? Abu Bakr and Umar and others. So the Prophet ﷺ looked toward Abu Bakr and Umar and said, is it as he has said? And Abu Bakr and Umar, they confirmed that what Dhul Yadayn had said was correct. So the Prophet ﷺ stood up and completed the two units which remained, and then he made prostration for forgetfulness. So this is one of the reasons why it is legislated to pray the prostration for forgiveness. Also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made tasneem. He ended the prayer after 3 units of prayer. Once again, he intends to pray 4 units, but he forgot sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he ended the prayer after 3 units of prayer. So the same thing, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed, he remembered, so he completed the prayer and then made the prostration for forgetfulness. Or two, because of an increase or because of a decrease. And likewise the individual, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stood up from after he intends to perform 2 units, he intends to perform 4 units of prayer. So there is the tashahhud in the middle. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not perform the tashahhud in the middle. He forgot. So he stood up right into the 3rd unit of prayer. So this is also another reason why the prostration for forgetfulness would be performed. And the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah Ta'ala. So this is the 5 things. One is the Prophet ﷺ standing up. The Prophet ﷺ making tashahhud after 2 units of prayer, but the prayer wasn't complete. The second is the Prophet ﷺ making tashahhud after 3 units of prayer. So once again, the prayer isn't complete because it should have been 4. Or an increase, or a decrease, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up after the 2 units of prayer without making the tashahhud, without making the tashahhud. So this is 5 situations that Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala said. It was reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made sujood tashahhud. Then the author rahimahullah ta'ala mentions a statement from Imam al-Khattabi, and the Shaykh mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, he is from the Imams of the Sunnah of his time. Imam al-Khattabi said, "Al-Mu'tamid, that which is established with the people of knowledge, are these 5 hadith, are these 5 narrations. And there are 2 narrations of Ibn Mas'ud, 1 narration of Abu Sa'id, 1 narration of Abu Hurairah, and 1 narration of Ibn Buhayna, who was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or radiallahu ta'ala anhum." So the Shaykh said, Habibullah ta'ala, that all of these companions, Ibn Mas'ud, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, Abu Hurairah, Ibn Mas'ud has 2 hadiths, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri 1, Abu Hurairah has 1, and Ibn Buhayna has 1. These 5 hadiths, all of these companions have something that they reported that was done by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as it relates to the prostration for forgetfulness. And the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah ta'ala, for example, as it relates to adding to the prayer, if a person, for example, rises up after 4 units, they rise up for the 5th unit. So they have added something to the prayer. The Shaykh said, Habibullah ta'ala, but there's a situation, and that is, if the person is informed while he's in the 5th unit of the prayer, he immediately abandons it and he sits and he prays the prostration for forgetfulness. He prays the prostration for forgetfulness. Then the Shaykh mentioned Habibullah ta'ala. Likewise, if a person has not completed the prayer, the prayer is incomplete, and they make tasmeen, and then they're informed, someone has informed them, or they remember, likewise they have to pray the prostration for forgetfulness. Then the Shaykh said, Habibullah ta'ala, but if the person, for example, has forgotten a sajda, let's say if the individual has forgotten a sajda, which is from the pillars of the prayer, the person has forgotten a sajda, they have to come with that sajda that they forgot, and they have to pray the prostration for forgetfulness. And he said, Habibullah ta'ala, even if a person forgets a sajda, let's say in the middle of the prayer, but they continue and they perform the following sajda. So the person has forgotten a sajda in the middle of the prayer. and they continue and they perform another sajda. Then the person remembers or he is reminded. The individual has to consider the sajda that he's doing as the first one. The sajda that he's performing takes the place of the one that he forgot. And then he completes the prayer and he prays the prostration for forgetfulness. Then the Shaykh said the same for a unit of prayer. The same for a rak'ah. If a person misses the second rak'ah and they enter into the third rak'ah and then they are informed or they remember, the rak'ah that they're performing takes the place of the first one. The rak'ah that they're performing takes the place of the first one. Why? Because they have to complete the pillar of the prayer. They have to complete the pillar of the prayer. They can't forget it, unlike the obligations of the prayer. Then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned, وَشَكْ. Or if a person is doubtful, the person stands up in the prayer and he forgets. He's unsure, is this the third unit or is this the second unit? The person has to go back to that which he's certain of. He's certain, so he is certain of the second, but he's not sure, maybe this is the third, he goes back to the lower number. He goes back to the lower number. Then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, so that which he builds his prayer off of is that which he's certain of. The person, he prays one unit, and then he doubts, is this the first or the second? He goes back to the first, he says it's the first. Or he prays three units of prayer, but he's not sure, is it two or three? He goes back to the second unit of the prayer. Then the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, likewise, if the individual has increased, and they are informed or they remember. They are informed or they remember. The person has to drop that which he's increased. He has to drop that which he increased and he goes back to that which was before it. He goes back to that which was before it. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, this doubt can take place in the obligatory prayer or the supererogatory prayer. But you have to come with the prostration for forgetfulness. You have to come with the prostration for forgetfulness. And he reiterated, the person, he doubts whether he has, is this the second or the third? He goes back to the second. Likewise, if a person should have prayed two, Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, if the person should have prayed two, and then they stand up for the third, and they're informed while they're performing the third, they have to immediately abandon that unit of prayer. They have to immediately abandon that unit of prayer and they sit in the tashahhud. And the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, but also the individual does not make takbir. Like if a person has stood up for a third unit of prayer and then he remembers that this prayer only has two, the person abandons the third unit of prayer that he's in and he goes to julus and he does not make takbir. He does not make takbir because by him making takbir, he's continuing to add to the prayer. He's continuing to add to the prayer and he should not be in that position. Then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentions that, but if this continues with the individual, it is possible that this is whispers, that this is from the whispers of the shaitan. And the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that indeed the shaitan is very diligent in trying to spoil the worship of the worshipper. So if an individual finds that he continuously has doubts, the individual should abandon those doubts. Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, some people, when they make wudu, they feel that they haven't washed the limb. So they wash it once, twice, three times, and many times. The Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, it's for a person to discipline themselves and to not pay attention to the whispers. They should discipline themselves, they should control themselves, and they should not pay attention to the whispers. And the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, it's very important that an individual, when they begin to pray, that they gather their thoughts. And they only focus on the prayer itself. They only focus on the ablution. They only focus on the ghusl. They only focus on the prayer itself. They should not busy themselves with things that they weren't thinking about before. The Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, some people, they enter the prayer and they weren't thinking about anything but the prayer. Then the shaitan comes to them and they start thinking about work. But they start thinking about visitors that want to visit them, or people they want to visit, or they start thinking about a trip that they're going to take, or something, someplace they're going to go. The Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, as long as the person is standing in front of his Lord, he should gather his thoughts and control himself and only focus on the prayer itself. And the Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, so it's upon the individual to avoid and abandon the whispers that come to him. And he said some people, they enter into the prayer and or they enter into the wudu and they take hours. They take hours performing it because they forget and they go back and they're unsure. The Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, it's mandatory that the individual abandons the whispers of the shaitan. And the author also mentioned with regards to removing impurities. Some people, when they want to remove impurities from their body, they feel they haven't done enough, so they continue to wash themselves. They wash themselves for a long time. As well as removing impurities from their fold, or removing impurities from their head garment. The shaitan comes to them and whispers that they haven't cleaned it, so they continue to wash it. This shouldn't be the case. And the Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, if you wash it three times. But after that, some people, they continue to wash it. So much so, they are so involved with washing the impurities, that the prayer comes and the prayer goes, and the person is still trying to wash this impurity. This is not befitting for the individual. And the Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, something that can assist you in avoiding the whispers of the shayateen is that when you enter the prayer, you start by saying the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And likewise, when you enter the prayer, you begin with the opening supplication. And likewise, after the opening supplication, you seek refuge in Allah Azza wa Jalla, and you immediately start to recite from the Quran. You don't wait and pause so that the shaitan can come to you and bring about these sort of whispers. Then the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned, If a person adds something from the prayer which doesn't belong, but the person has added it, whether in the standing position or the ruku' or the sujood, if the person does this on purpose, then the prayer is invalid. Then the prayer is invalid. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habibullah Ta'ala, so for example, you have someone who's praying and he begins to think about things. So because of that, he prays more than he should pray. He prays more than he should pray. If the person does it unintentional, then he prays to Judah Sahu and his prayer is still allowed. His prayer is still valid. But if the person does it on purpose, then the prayer is no longer valid. Then he mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is recorded in Sahih Muslim, if a man adds or takes away from the prayer, then it is upon him to pray, to prostrate two times. It is upon him to prostrate two times. Then the author mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, and if the person remembers, meaning if he remembers that he has added to the prayer, if the person remembers while he's doing that which he has added, he should return back to, he should immediately abandon that which he's involved in, and he should return back to the previous action without making takbir. The Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, Na'am, so once the individual remembers that he is added to the prayer, he should return to the action which he should be in presently, the action that he should be in. And he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentioned that when the person enters into the prayer, the shaitan approaches and he whispers to the individual so that the individual begins to remember things that were not on his mind. The individual begins to remember things that were not on his mind. Things that were totally, he was not thinking about. It comes to him, why? Because of the whispers of the shaitan. And the Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, it's upon an individual to put his trust in Allah and to seek assistance from Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, it is upon the individual to know that he cannot conquer these whispers from the shaitan alone. He cannot conquer and overcome the whispers from the shaitan alone, but he has to seek assistance from Allah Azza wa Jal. So because of that, he should increase in his statement, there is no might nor any change except by way of Allah. Except from Allah, there is no might or change except from Allah. This has been reported in Sahih Bukhari from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that this statement, there is no might or change except from Allah, this is a treasure from the treasures of Jannah. So the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala. So if a person, مثلا, he wants to pray 4 units of prayer, but he stands up for the fifth, and then he remembers, or someone informs him, he immediately sits down and he doesn't make takbir. He immediately sits down, he doesn't make takbir, he finishes the tashahhud, and then he prays the two prostration for forgetfulness. And then the same, so this is the same that he mentioned, the fifth unit. And then he said, for example, he continued to say, for example, you stand up for the fifth, and even you recite Surah Al-Fatiha. But while you're reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, you remember, I've prayed four, so this must be the fifth. Even if you're reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, and you remember, or someone reminds you, you immediately stop, and you sit in tashahhud, and you finish the prayer, and you pray the prostration for forgetfulness. And even, for example, if a person is in tashahhud, مثلا, an individual is in tashahhud. For example, they prayed the first tashahhud, and then they're in the second tashahhud. But the person remembers that there's only one tashahhud. Let's say he's praying Fajr, so there's only one tashahhud. So he's in the tashahhud, he's added a unit of prayer, so he's making a second tashahhud. Fajr, Salat al-Fajr is only one tashahhud. But he's added a unit of prayer, and he's already made one tashahhud, now he's in a second tashahhud. So while he's doing the tashahhud, he remembers that I've already completed one, and this unit of prayer is only two, this salat is only 2 units of prayer. He immediately stops the tashahhud, and he goes into the two prostration for forgetfulness, he completes the prayer. I'll say that again, just for clarification. An individual wants to pray 2 units of prayer. Mathalan, salat al-fajr. He finishes one tashahhud. He adds a unit of prayer, he adds another rak'ah. And then once he finishes that, he prays, he begins to start another tashahhud. Then it comes to mind, or someone reminds him, that you've already prayed tashahhud. This is the second one. So he immediately stops the tashahhud, and he makes the tasneem, and he prays the two prostrations for forgetfulness. Why? Because he's already completed the tashahhud. He's already completed the tashahhud. Then the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala. Likewise, if a person enters into the masjid, or a person enters into the prayer, and the imam is praying 5 units, someone enters into the prayer late, and they realize that the imam is praying 5 units. So this fifth unit is not valid. So the person enters into the prayer, and he realizes that the imam prayed 5 units. The imam prays tashahhud, the imam prays 2 units of two prostrations for forgetfulness, and the person who has entered into the prayer late, he doesn't count that unit of prayer. He doesn't count that unit of prayer because that unit of prayer wasn't valid with the imam. It was the fifth unit that should have not been present. So that's what the author mentioned, Rahim Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا يَعْتَدُّ بِالرَّكْعَةِ الزَّائِدَ مَسْبُوكٌ. Meaning, if a person enters into the prayer and it's an extra unit that's being performed by the imam, the person does not consider that an extra unit. They do not consider that a valid unit for the prayer. They have to start with the first one themselves. Now, and this is for the imam or the munfarid. This is for the imam or the munfarid. And the Shaykh, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned, if the imam or someone who is praying alone is informed by two individuals, if he's informed by two individuals that you've done something in the prayer, he should go back and he should complete it. He should go back and he should complete it. But if he's informed by one person, He does not go back if he feels that what he's doing is correct. Because the Prophet ﷺ did not return to the statement of Dhul Yadayn, the companion that had the long hands. And the Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, when this took place with the Prophet ﷺ, and Dhul Yadayn informed the Prophet ﷺ, has the prayer been shortened or you forgot? The Prophet ﷺ did not take his statement until he asked Abu Bakr and Umar, is what he's saying correct? So the Prophet ﷺ sought a witness for what he was saying. Because the Prophet ﷺ felt that what he did was correct. He felt that he completed the prayer. He had felt that he completed the prayer. So when Dhul Yadayn, who was one man, informed him that the prayer, you haven't completed it, the Prophet ﷺ did not take the statement until he verified it with other companions. Then the author, Rahim Allah Ta'ala, mentioned, and the prayer, if a person does actions, small actions, which they do not invalidate the prayer. The Shaykh said, for example, if a person walks, takes a few steps forward, this does not invalidate the prayer. Or if the person opens a door, if the person feels that they have to open the door, this does likewise does not invalidate the prayer, because it's mentioned, the author mentioned, Rahim Allah Ta'ala, كَفَتْهِهِ الْبَابْ لِعَائِشَ. It took place, the Prophet ﷺ moved forward and he opened the door for Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها. So this type of action doesn't invalidate the prayer, because it was done by the Prophet ﷺ. And the Shaykh says, likewise, if it's not an emergency, for example, you want to open a door, or he said something which is not an emergency, like the Prophet ﷺ carried his granddaughter, Umama, the daughter of the Prophet's daughter. He carried her. So this is not an emergency, but it was done by the Prophet ﷺ. So this shows that this action, picking something up, putting it down, does not invalidate the prayer. Likewise, the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, it took place that the Prophet ﷺ elongated his sujood, which was not his norm. He elongated his sujood, and this was not his norm, but he did so because Hassan and Hussein, his grandsons, they climbed his back. So when they climbed his back, the Prophet ﷺ elongated the prostration. So all of this shows that small actions, whether they are from the prayer or whether they are not from the prayer, they do not break the prayer. They do not break the prayer. And the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that the Prophet ﷺ, he's an example for us. He's a messenger from Allah, he's an example for us. And likewise, the Prophet ﷺ said to his companion, I am a human. I forget just as you forget. But the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, but one of the wisdoms in the Prophet ﷺ forgetting is so that we would know what to do if the same thing happened to us. Us as followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the wisdom behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam forgetting something, is that once he forgot it, it was legislated what a person should do if they forget. So that is a lesson for the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, also mentioned, وَإِنْ أَتَى بِقَوْلٍ مَشْرُوعٍ فِي الصَّلَاةِ فِي غَيْرِ مَوْضِعِهِ. For example, if a person said something which is from the prayer, but it's not in its proper place. It's from the prayer, but it's not in its proper place. For example, the Shaykh said, if a person stands up after tashahhud, but they, instead of reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, they stand in prayer and they say attahiyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibatu. This is from the prayer, but it's not in its place. They should be reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. The person, this does not invalidate the prayer. This does not invalidate the prayer, and the person makes the prostration for forgetfulness. But if the person says statements, which are not from the prayer, for example, the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, if someone stands in the prayer and they begin to recite poetry, they begin to say poetry, this invalidates the prayer. Now, so the Shaykh reiterated, so if an individual says something which is from the prayer, but not in its proper place, this does not invalidate the prayer, but they make the prostration for forgetfulness. But if they say statements such as poetry or the likes which is not from the prayer, then this invalidates the prayer itself. Jazakallah khairan wa ahsana ilayk. يكون السؤال حفظكم الله تعالى: إذا أتيت إلى المسجد لأداء صلاة الفجر ولكن لا يتسع الوقت لأداء سنة الفجر قبل الإقامة، هل يجوز لي أن أجمع بين سنتي الفجر وصلاة الفجر بنية واحدة أو بنية الجمع؟
ركعتا الفجر هي من آكد الصلوات النافلة، وأكد عليها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم زيادة، وموضعها يعني بعد طلوع الفجر قبل إقامة الصلاة. إذا ما أدراك أن يؤديها ودخل مع الإمام، إن أراد أن يقضيها بعد الصلاة قضى ركعتين، وإن أراد أن يؤخرها ويصليها بعدما تطلع الشمس وترتفع قدرا فكذلك جائز. أما إذا كان السؤال يقصد أن ينوي وقد دخل مع الإمام ينوي هذه الصلاة أنها ركعتي الفجر وأنها فريضة، ما أعتقد أنه يقصد هذا السؤال، وإن كان النطق في الكتابة يظهر بهذه الصورة، لكن يقين أنه ما يكفي إن شاء الله هذا، لأن فريضة الصلاة أمر فرض، والنافلة لها فضلها الذي أشار إليه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أن من حافظ على 12 ركعة يعني في كل يوم بنى الله له بيتا في الجنة، هذه الركعات 4 قبل الظهر وركعتان بعد الظهر وركعتان بعد المغرب، وركعتان بعد العشاء، هذه 10 ركعات، وركعتا الفجر. النبي نهى عن الصلاة بعد صلاة الفجر إلى أن تطلع الشمس، لكنه رأى رجلا يصلي بعد الصلاة فقال له: الصبح 4، يعني هل تصلي الفجر 4 ركعات؟ قال: إنني لم أصلي 4 ركعات. فسكت عنها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، فدل على جواز ذلك.
Individuals asking, As-salamu alaykum, the individuals asking, if I entered into the masjid and I did not have enough time, or time did not permit me praying the 2 units of prayer before Salat al-Fajr, can I enter the prayer? Is it permissible for me to enter the prayer with 2 intentions, one for the units of prayer before Salat al-Fajr and Salat al-Fajr? The Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, the 2 units of prayer before Salat al-Fajr, these are the most established superiority prayers, as the Prophet ﷺ emphasized that these should be prayed, and the time that they should be prayed is after the Adhan al-Fajr until the Iqamah. But if a person, because of entering into Salat al-Fajr, did not have enough time, then the person can pray them after Salat al-Fajr. They can pray them after Salat al-Fajr, or they can delay them until the sun has risen and they can pray them. And then he says, but I don't think that the individual intended to join, by the question, I don't think that the individual intended to join Salat al-Fajr with these 2 units of prayer, because Salat al-Fajr is obligatory, and these 2 units are superiority. And they have, but they have a great, tremendous virtues, they have great, tremendous virtues. As the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever preserves the 12 units of prayer in one day, he will have a palace built for him in Jannah, or a house built for him in Jannah. And these are 4 before Salat al-Dhuhr, 2 after Salat al-Dhuhr, 2 after Maghrib, 2 after Isha, that's 10. 2 before Salat al-Fajr, and that's 12. So the person can pray them immediately after Salat al-Fajr, or they can wait until the sun has risen. And he said it took place on the time of the Prophet ﷺ that he saw a man praying after Salat al-Fajr, immediately after Salat al-Fajr. And he says, has the Prophet ﷺ said to the man, has the morning prayer become 4? And the man said, Ya Rasulullah, I didn't have enough time to pray them before. So the Prophet ﷺ was silent, and that shows that he consented to his action.
قول السائل حبيبكم الله تعالى متى يسجد الشخص سجود السهو قبل التسليم أو بعد التسليم؟
هو له معذر، لكن الذي ينضبط أن يسجد قبل التسليم، لأنه لو جعل السجود بعد التسليم كثير من الناس بعدما يسلم الإمام يقفزون ويؤدون ما بقي ما فاتهم، فإذا سجد قبل أن يسلم ضبط الجميع بأن يسجدوا للسهو سجود السهو ويشتركون فيه، لأنه قد يسلم ثم إذا انتهى مسلم المسبوق بركعة أو ركعتين يفز يقوم يؤدي الناقص، فإذا سمع يسجد ربما ارتبك، ما دام أنه يجوز هذا وهذا فالأولى أن الإنسان ينضبط يسجد سجود السهو قبل أن يسلم.
The Shaykh mentioned حبيبه الله تعالى, it's permissible. The question is, when does a person pray the prostration for forgetfulness before the taslim or after the taslim? The Shaykh mentioned حبيبه الله تعالى, it's permissible to do both. Permissible to do it before the taslim or after the taslim. But the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, but if the person makes the sujood before the taslim, this is better. This is better because many people, especially if they come late to the prayer, after the taslim, they have to stand up to complete what they've missed. After the taslim, they have to stand up to complete what they've missed. So in order to have greater focus, it's better that the individual does it before the taslim so that they don't become confused. And the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, and both of them are permissible, but this is that which is better.
يقول السائل حفظكم الله تعالى هل يجوز لطالب العلم أن يطلب أجرة للإلقاء أو لإلقاء محاضرات إسلامية أو دروس شرعية أو هل الأفضل أن يترك ذلك؟ هل يجوز لطالب العلم أن يطلب الأجرة لإلقاء محاضرات ودروس إسلامية أو الأفضل أن يترك ذلك؟
الجواز يجوز إذا لم يكن موظفا للقيام بها، لكن بذل العلم من طالب العلم أفضل من أن يأخذ عليه أجرة، لكن لو طلب الأجرة فلا حرج، كالذي يعلم القرآن، تعليم القرآن مهم جدا، لكن لو لم يستطع الإنسان يعلم القرآن إلا أن يعطى أجرة أو مكافأة فلا حرج في ذلك.
Individuals asking, is it permissible for a student of knowledge to teach and to seek funding for teaching and giving lectures, or is it better that he leaves this? The Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, if the question is whether it's permissible or not, it's permissible as long as it's not his job. Because if it's his job specifically, then he would receive a salary such as nothing in here. But that which is better is that the individual abandons it. That which is better is that the individual doesn't take funding for this. But it's permissible, just like it's permissible to do so for the Qur'an. So the individual who teaches the Qur'an and he will not do so except that he is paid, it's permissible for him to do so.
يقول السائل حبيبكم الله تعالى هل المشروع قراءة سورة الفاتحة كلما قرأت المصحف، يعني يبدأ بقراءة سورة الفاتحة قبل أن يقرأ غيرها؟
الجواز يجوز، والأولى أن يسرد قراءة حتى يتمها ليعود من جديد يبدأ بالفاتحة، وهكذا هذا هو الأولى.
Individuals asking Assalamu alaikum, is it permissible, is it legislated that I recite Surah Al-Fatiha every time I read the Quran? So he begins with Surah Al-Fatiha before reciting other verses. The Sheikh said it's permissible, but that which is better is that the individual, once he begins recitation, he continues to recite from the book until he finishes the book, and then he begins it from the beginning, yani from Surah Al-Fatiha, not that every time he goes back to reciting Surah Al-Fatiha. يقول السائل حبيبكم الله تعالى إذا نسي المصلي أن يتشهد ولم يشجد لسجود السهو إلا ولم يتذكر إلا بعد مدة طويلة فماذا يفعل؟
إذا كان السهو يعني أكمل الصلاة، فإذا أمكنه أن يتذكر وهو في المسجد أو وهو قبل أن تبطل طهارته فينبغي أن يحرص على ذلك، وإذا لم يمكنه ذلك إلا أو ما تذكر الذين فالصلاة صحيحة. هذا على أساس أنه لم يترك شيئا من الصلاة، وإنما علم أنه سهى فأتى بالشيء الذي سهى عنه ولكن نسي سجود السهو، فإذا أم ذكر وهو في المسجد أو وهو قبل أن تبطل الظهر سجد وإلا فلا حرج عليه.
The individual is asking if a person forgot to do the tashahud and he did not pray the prostration for forgetfulness and he did not remember until after some time, what should he do? The Sheikh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, if the individual has forgotten to do the prostration for forgetfulness. Yani the Shaykh understood the question as the person came with the tashahud, but they just forgot to do the prostration for forgetfulness. The Shaykh said, Habibullah Ta'ala, if the person remembers while he's still in the masjid and while he's still in a state of ablution, he should do the prostration immediately once he remembers. But if the person has done the tashahud, but all they forgot was the prostration, and some time has passed, then the salat is still correct. The salat is still correct because he's completed the salat. He's completed the salat. He's done the tashahud, but the only thing that remained was the sujood sahw. But he forgot that, so the salat is still correct. وإذا تذكر فيما بعد أنه لم يأتي بتشهد ولا سجد للسهو.
إذا كان هذا السهو سهى عن التشهد الأول ثم نسي أن يسجد له ولم يتذكر إلا بعد فترة فلا الصلاة صحيحة، لأن هذا من الأعمال الواجبة وليست ركنا من أركان الصلاة. أما إذا كان لا نسي التشهد الأخير وسلم فذكر فعاد يسجد السهو فقط فهذا لا يعتبر، لأن التشهد الأخير ركن من أركان الصلاة. الشيخ رحمة الله عليه في شروط الصلاة ذكر الأركان 14 ركنا، فأي ركن يفقد من الصلاة عن سهو أو عمد لا تصح الصلاة إلا به، إلا من كان لا يقدر أن يأتي بذلك الركن، يعني كالوقوف للصلاة قائما العاجز عنه لا يجب عليه ذلك. قراءة الفاتحة ركن الذي لا يستطيع أن يحفظها ولم يحفظها وإنما يسبح في الصلاة فصلاته صحيحة.
Then I asked the Sheikh, I said, what if the individual has forgotten the tashahhud and the sujood and they didn't even do the tashahhud? So they completed the prayer without the tashahhud and the sujood. The Sheikh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, if the person has forgotten the first tashahhud, for example, 3 units of prayer or 4 units of prayer, and they forgot the first tashahhud, the middle, and the person forgot the sujood, and the person forgot the sujood, then this is from the wajibat. This is from the wajibat, so it's nothing upon the individual. But if the individual has forgotten the second tashahhud, if the individual has forgotten the second tashahhud, and then he remembered, then the individual has to go back to that tashahhud, because it's from the pillars of the prayer. It's from the pillars of the prayer, and the prayer is not valid except that he performs it. And the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab Rahim Allah Ta'ala mentioned in his book, the pillars of the prayer, that they are 14. So if anyone has abandoned any of these 14 actions, whether they did it, they've neglected it, or they did it on purpose, the prayer is not accepted. The prayer is not accepted. They have to come with that pillar of the prayer. Except for the individual who does not have the ability. For example, standing is obligatory in the obligatory prayers. In the obligatory prayers, standing is mandatory. But if the person doesn't have the ability to stand, then he doesn't have to do it. And likewise, the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha is mandatory. But if a person doesn't have the ability to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, they haven't memorized it, then it's not mandatory. So the conditions of one, so the pillars of the prayer, so the pillars of the prayer, they have to be fulfilled. They have to be fulfilled and conducted in the prayer in order for the prayer to be valid. يقول السائل حفظكم الله تعالى إذا نسي الرجل بأنه لم إذا نسي الرجل أن يصلي الصلاة العصر ولم يتذكر إلا ودخل صلاة العشاء فماذا يفعل؟
يصلي. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من نام عن صلاة أو نسيها فليصليها إذا دخل. لو سهى عن صلاة العصر شغل ثم نسيها وصلى المغرب لما أراد يصلي العشاء ذكر أنه لم يصلي تلك الصلاة يصليها لكن لا يقضي المغرب اللي سبق أنه صلاها. إنما نص على المنسية فقال فليصليها إذا ذكر.
Individuals asking if a person forgot to pray Salat al-Asr and they didn't remember until it was time for Salat al-Isha, what should the individual do? The Shaykh said they would pray. They would pray the prayer that they forgot, because it was mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whoever sleeps through the prayer, or he sleeps during the time of the prayer, or he has forgotten the prayer, then he should pray once he remembers. So for example, if a person forgets Salat al-Asr, and then they didn't remember until after they completed Salat al-Maghrib. The Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, once the person remembers, he prays Salat al-Asr. And then the Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, but the person doesn't repeat Salat al-Maghrib. For example, he's completed Salat al-Maghrib, he remembers he hasn't prayed Salat al-Asr, he prays Salat al-Asr, and he doesn't repeat Salat al-Maghrib because he has prayed it. يقول السائل حبيبكم الله تعالى ما نصيحتكم لمن يترك الصلاة السنن الرواتب يتكاسل عن أداء سنن الرواتب؟
نصيحتي أن يهتم بها. سيأتي لها بحث في هذا الكتاب وعنها
يكمل نقص الفرائض في ما أداه من النوم. بعد هذا قال أبو العباس: التطوع يكمل به صلاة الفرض إلى آخره. فالإنسان ينبغي أن يحرص على أن يؤدي النوافل. وخير النبي إذا صلى الله عليه وسلم شغل عن صلاة قضاها ولو في غير وقتها. مثلا الإنسان إذا شغل ولم يصلي ركعتي الفجر صليها بعدها، شغل ولم يصلي الراتبة التي قبل الظهر سواء كانت أربعا أو اثنتين، وشغل ولم يتذكرهن إلا في الليل يقضيهم في الليل. هو خير، كل ما قام به كسب أجرا في ذلك.
Individuals asking, what is your advice for an individual who is does not perform the sunnah prayers and is somewhat lazy? The Shaykh mentioned, Allah Ta'ala, my advice to that individual is that this individual should give it greater focus, and there's going to come in this book, in the same treatise that we're reading, there's going to come a portion of the treatise that he speaks about, the author speaks about the importance of performing this purgatory prayers. And from the virtues of the supererogatory prayers is they make up for any deficiencies in the obligatory prayers. They make up for deficiencies in the obligatory prayers. So it's upon an individual to be vigorous in performing the supererogatory prayers. And even if he prays them later on, if he forgets or he's busy, or he becomes busy, he can pray them later on. For example, if a person doesn't have time to pray the 4 units before Dhuhr or the 2 units before Dhuhr, the individual can pray them at a later time. And the more you focus, the more you give attention to the supererogatory prayers, the more reward you will receive. يسأل السائل حفظكم الله تعالى عن كتب الفقه التي ينبغي لطالب العلم المبتدئ أن يعتني بها.
هذه المختصرات عندنا في بلادنا هنا من أفضل المختصرات زاد المستقنع، وقريب منها أيضا عمدة الفقه. عمدة الفقه تأليف ابن قدامة من علماء القرن السادس وأوائل السابع، وزاد المؤلف الحجاوي في القرن التاسع وبعض العاشر، فهي كتب مهمة. لكن مثل هذه المختصرات يحتاج الواحد إلى أن إما أن يقرأها بتكرار، يقرأ الباب والمسألة مرة مرتين ثلاث، حتى إذا لم يحفظها حرفيا حفظ المعنى.
حفظكم الله. The individuals asking what are some books of fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence, which are befitting for the student, the beginner student of knowledge. The Shaykh mentioned Habib al-Atala, the summarized books of fiqh. And in our country, we have 2, Zad al-Mustaqni' by al-Hajawi, who was in the 9th century, and similar to it is Umdat al-Fiqh by Ibn Qudama, rahimahullah ta'ala, and he's from the scholars of the 6th generation. Then he mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala. So these are important books, and the students of knowledge, or the sixth, upon the 6th century, the students of knowledge should read these books, and he should repeat that which he has read 3-4 times, so that he can memorize it. And if he doesn't have the ability to memorize it, at least he understands the meaning. Uh, يسأل سائل حفيظكم الله تعالى عن مصافحة المرأة الأجنبية ولو كانت كبيرة في السن.
يقول الله جل وعلا: لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة. ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يصافح امرأة إلا أن تكون زوجة أو من محارمه. ينبغي الإنسان أن يلتزم هذا الأمر. والنبي لما بايع النساء، والمبايعة في لغة العرب أن يضرب المبايع يده بيد الذي يبايعه، الكف على الكف، لما بايع النساء بين لهن أن مبايعته لهن كلاما، كلامي مع واحدة فكلامي مع الجميع، ويقال إني لا أصافح النساء. وتقول عائشة: ما مست يده صلى الله عليه وسلم يد امرأة إلا أن تكون من زوجته أو من محارمه.
Individuals asking, is it permissible for a man to shake hands with a female who is a foreign female, even if she is old? The Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Quran, verily you have in the Messenger of Allah a good example for those who hope to meet Allah in the last day. And it's mentioned that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not touch the hand of a foreign woman, except that he would only touch the hand of a wife or a relative. And so it's mandatory that we abide by this. And when the Prophet, when the female gave oath to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or to give oath in the Arab culture is that you put your palm in the other individual's palm and you shake his hand. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the females gave oath, when they entered into the fold of Islam, when they gave oath to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they did it with their by way of speech. The Prophet ﷺ did not shake their hands. And it was, as was mentioned by Aisha radiallahu anha, the Prophet ﷺ did not touch a female, or the hand of the Prophet ﷺ did not touch a female that was not permissible for him. يقول السائل حفيظكم الله تعالى: ما معنى اسم الوارث في حق الله تعالى؟ ما معنى اسم الوارث؟ الوارث هو الوارث.
يعني أن الله هو وارث هذا الكون، لا شريك له فيه. كالميراث، إلا أنه لا تمثيل، ليس كمثله شيء جل وعلا. ذكر أول سورة الحديث: هو الأول والآخر إلى آخره.
The individuals asking, what is the meaning of the inheritor as it relates to Allah Azza wa Jal? And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, Allah is the inheritor of this creation, His creation. And there's no partners with Allah Azza wa Jal. Such is the inheritance, but there's nothing similar to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Shaykh mentioned, Habib Allah Ta'ala, verily Allah Azza wa Jal is the first. And then he continued to mention the verses in Surah Al-Hadid. وتكمل السؤال: وهل يصح أن يدعو أن يدعى الله عز وجل بهذا الاسم؟
يجوز أن يدعى الله جل وعلا بأي اسم من أسمائه الثابتة في كتابه أو في سنة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم، لكن ينبغي للواحد أن يسأل الله أيضا بالصفات التي بين فيها: اللهم أنت الرحمن الرحيم، اللهم أنت العفو الكريم. لما سألت عائشة إن هي وافقت ليلة القدر ماذا تقول، قال: قولي اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عني. الإنسان يفكر في دعائه ما يناسب المطلب. كان يريد مال: اللهم أنت الرزاق فارزقني إلهي.
And continuation of the question: is it permissible to supplicate to Allah with this name, the inheritor? The Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, that it's permissible to call on Allah with any name which is mentioned in the Quran and authentically reported in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But likewise, it is befitting that an individual calls on Allah azza wa jal using the names and the descriptions that had been clarified. For example, Allah has described Himself with Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Kareem, the most generous, the pardoner. For example, in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, if I reach Laylatul Qadr, what should I say? The Prophet said, you should say, oh Allah, you are the pardoner, you love to pardon, so pardon us. So the person should use a name which is fitting for that which he is requesting from Allah Azza wa Jal. If he's requesting financial support, he calls on Allah by the provider and the likes. يقول السائل هل يجوز إذا كان هناك امرأة مريضة في بلاد الغربية هل يجوز لها أن تكتشف أمام الأطباء لأجل فحص الطبي ولو كان هذا يتعدى إلى كشف العورة؟
يجوز إذا كان العلاج لا بد له من أن يرى الطبيب موضع علاج ولا يوجد طبيبة تقوم مقام، فإن الأمور الضرورية يسر الله أمرها على عباده.
The individual is asking a female is sick and she needs to expose her privates to male doctors in order for her to have examinations and the likes. The Shaykh mentioned Habib Allah Ta'ala, it's permissible for her to do so if the cure requires that they look at her privates. If the cure for the disease that she is afflicted with requires that they look at her privates. And there is no female doctor present. There is no female doctor present, so a male must take her place. With regards to the necessary actions, or these types of necessary procedures, Allah Azza wa Jalla has made it permissible for upon His servants in that regard. يقول السائل حفظكم الله تعالى إذا أقطع شخص في صلاته وهو يصلي خلف الإمام والإمام لم يقتل في الصلاة فهل يشتد ذاك المأموم سجود السهو؟
إذا أخطأ المأموم في صلاته سهو عن شيء، يعني ما أداه، إن كان هذا من أركان الصلاة فالركعة التي نسي هذا الشيء فيها هو ما صحت، وعليه أن يأتي بركعة يقضيها. وأما كذا مجرد سهى عن أمور وهو يتابع الإمام فلا عليه السجود سهو في شيء يسهو عنه وليس بلازم. أما إذا سهى بعدما سلم الإمام وأراد أن يأتي بما فاته من الصلاة، يعني فاته ركعتان فنسي وظن أنها ركعة واحدة فجلس يتشهد بعدما أدى ركعة ثم تذكر فقام يأتي بالركعة الثانية فهذا يسجد السهو.
Individuals asking if a person is praying behind the imam, they make a mistake. If the imam has not made that mistake, does the person pray the two prostrations for forgetfulness? The Shaykh said, Habib Allah Ta'ala, if the person praying in the congregation has made a mistake, and that mistake means that he has neglected one of the pillars, for example, he neglected a unit of prayer, then the salat won't be correct until he comes with that unit of prayer. So once the imam has completed, he has to come with that unit of prayer. What if the person has made a mistake during the prayer, but he continues to follow the imam, not from the units of the prayer? not from the pillars, not from the pillars of the prayer, but he's made a mistake other than the pillars of the prayer, and he continues to follow the imam, then he does not pray the prostration for forgiveness. But if he has neglected one of the pillars of the prayer, once the imam has finished, he has to stand up and he has to complete that pillar that he has neglected, and then he prays the sujood for forgiveness.
ونحمد الله جل وعلا على ما أنعم به علينا من الاجتماع الذي نسأله جل وعلا بأسمائه وصفاته أن يجعله ذخرا لنا في حياتنا وآخرتنا، كما أسأله سبحانه وتعالى أن يوفقنا لحسن أداء هذه العبادة التي يدور على حولها تدور عليها هذه الدروس، وأن يجعلنا من المحسنين أداءها الحريصين على أدائها وفق ما سنه لنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، كما نسأله جل وعلا أن يعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأن يذل الكفر والكافرين والمنافقين، وأن يفرج كربات المكروبين من المسلمين في كل مكان، وأن يزيح عنهم الفتن، وأن يحل بدل الأمن والإيمان والتعاون على البر والتقوى، كما صلى جل وعلا عن عاجل البلاد المصابة بالنحم والكروب والخطوب أن يعاجلها بفرج منه سبحانه وتعالى في الشام وفي غيرها العراق في اليمن وفي مصر وما يكون فيها وفي ليبيا وفي كل بقعة إسلامية، نسأل الله جل وعلا أن يحل فيها بدل ما كانوا عليه فيه من خوف أن يحل محله الأمن والإيمان والإيمان والتعاون على البر والتقوى، كما نسأل جل وعلا أن يوفق المسلمين بأن يحلوا مشاكلهم دون الالتجاء إلى أعدائهم، فإن الكفار يودون أن يكفر المسلمون ولا يرضون على المسلمين إلا أن يتخلوا عن دين الإسلام، ولا يزالون وسيستمرون يلتمسون الأسباب التي يصرفون المسلمين عن طاعة الله، فنسأل الله أن يخيب رجاءهم ويثبتنا جميعا بالقول الثابت ويهدينا سواء السبيل، وأن يغفرنا جميعا ويغفر لأمواتنا ويصلحنا ويصلح أحياءنا ويهدينا جميعا، وأن يحفظ لهذه المملكة أمنها على دينها ودنياها، وأن يحقق ذلك للمسلمين في كل مكان، وأن يوفق ولي أمرنا لحماية الشريعة وصيانة العقيدة والسعي والجد والاجتهاد في القضاء على الفتن ودواعيها، كما نسأل جل وعلا أن يعاجل ما أنشأه من عاصفة الحزن أن تنتهي إن شاء الله بمنه جل وعلا كرمه بأن يحل ما من ثمراتها الأمن ورغد العيش واتفاق الكلمة على الحق والهدى، وأن يخزي دعاة الرفض وأنصار الصفوية النجسة إنه مجيب الدعاء وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
الشيخ حبيب الله تعالى concluded the lesson by saying that we ask Allah Azza wa Jal, we praise Allah Azza wa Jal for allowing us to come together, and ask Allah Azza wa Jal with his names and attributes to make this from our good deeds in this life and the next. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us ability to perform these acts of worship which are mentioned in this book which we are studying. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from amongst those who are diligent in implementing this worship upon the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give might and glory to Islam and to debase disbelief and the hypocrites. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give peace to the Muslims in all parts of the world and to remove, to bring an end to all types of trials and tribulations. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us from amongst those who join together in righteousness and piety. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give quick ease to the Muslims who are being afflicted in Syria and in Iraq and in Yemen and in Egypt and in Libya. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to allow them to have safety and security. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to allow them to be people that join together upon righteousness and piety. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to allow the Muslims to solve and rectify their problems amongst themselves and to not refer back to and to seek help from disbelievers. For verily, disbelievers only want the Muslims to abandon their religion. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give the Muslims success and to allow them to return to obedience to Allah Azza wa Jalla. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to give us the firm statement in this life and the next. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to keep us firm upon the straight path. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to forgive those who are alive and those who have passed away, and to correct our affairs of this life and affairs of the dunya. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to protect the security and safety in Saudi Arabia, and to allow the rulers to give the rulers success to protect the legislation, and to end all trials and tribulations. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to allow them success to end the war which is taking place in Yemen, and to debase the Rafida, and to allow the people there to have safety and security, and to allow them to have their worldly possessions. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to bring unity about amongst the Muslims, and to debase and embarrass the Rafida. For verily, Allah Azza wa Jalla is the one to answer the call. And our last supplication is all praise be to Allah, the Lord of the world, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon Muhammad, his family members, and companions.